Recording in progress.
Hey, Anastasia.
Hi, Devin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay, we're recording.
Okay.
Good to go.
All right, I'd like to welcome everybody and go ahead and call the meeting to order. The first thing I'm going to introduce, this is my shadow, Brooke Conley. She's a new view worker at Social Services, so she's just shadowing me. Is there any public comment? All right, as I see none, we'll move on to January minutes. Did everybody get a chance to look over them? Any corrections? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
All right.
I'm listening. That's like
a second?
Second.
I think. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, minutes approved. We'll move on to Valley Community Services Board. Stop. Devin's going to talk about that.
Yes. Give me 1 second to share my screen with those on Zoom. So I'll start with this. Can folks on Zoom see that? My screen is correct to view as well. There's Crystal. Perfect. Well, thank you all for coming, and thank you for getting a quorum. I'm sure Tammy appreciates it too, since we'll be talking about adding them for a bus stop and a funding partner. So as you may remember, back in the fall, Valley Community Services Board and Tammy reached out to us expressing interest in reinstating their previous stop and status as funding partner, which I think maybe just Terry and Jennifer remember the CATS board, and they were a previous funding partner and had a previous stop as well. I'm not sure where along the lines that actually stopped, maybe, but it did. But they were interested in moving forward with reinstating their service. And so we presented a potential alternative to them a few weeks ago, which they seemed pretty comfortable with. And it would be a good way for us to ease into serving them full-time, which, as you know, the 250 connector is one of the tightest routes. So it's a little bit of a jigsaw puzzle to get, but the proposed alternative, switch this around. So we proposed the buses utilizing this gravel lot just to the south of the building, which is maintained by Valley Community Services Board. I know previously Steve had presented an option using the lot that's right behind the hotel, but that has since been ownership or something, so that's no longer on the table. So we looked at this lot, and we would be servicing the location 3 times a day to start with. So that would be 8 a.m., 12 noon, and 5 p.m. So these limited designated time stops give the drivers enough time to get back on schedule if they were to fall behind. If you remember Steve's presentation in the fall, it takes about 5 to 10 minutes to get back in there, depending on the way that the light is changing and if there are any folks that have any mobility needs that need to get in and out. But the times coincide with some of the peak usage times for Valley Community Services Board. But not only that, it also works well for VRT operationally. So Tammy, I know you said you have a few groups that meet at 8, and then lunchtime works out probably well in case someone who does need the bus just always, they wouldn't be waiting until that 4 p.m. slot, which you also said was a lot of time that you all had a lot of folks. So utilizing the gravel lot as well, those 3 times a day, we'll keep the bus out of the parking lot. We did a little tour in the bus, and it was a very tight turnaround. I know Steve kind of talked about making that sharp turn into the building. So having it utilize the gravel lot will keep the buses out of the way of the busy parking lot with pedestrians, with cars. Even just the few minutes we were there, it was a lot of activity going back and forth. So let's see here. go to the next slide. So this is what the bus stop sign would look like. So like I said, we would be serving them 3 times a day. The westbound bus will stop at 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5 p.m., so right about on top of the hour. The eastbound stops will be about 10 minutes before the hour, so 7:50. It still stays at 12 noon because Virginia Regional Transit does a shift change at 12 o'clock. So usually they're doing that shift change down at the Exxon at right below Valley Community Services Board, so they would just switch to doing that stop. That swap up at Valley Community Services Board, right on top of the hour, and then 4:50 p.m. So, next steps, kind of. Let me move that over. So, if you all do vote to move forward with reinstating the stop and Valley Community Services Board as a partner, we can move forward with implementing that stop. So there's actually a nice little bench area over with that gravel lot. Mm-hmm. And there is also an access, a little gravel access path that folks can just go right down the hill, cross the parking lot, and access the building. So we'll move forward with installing the bus sign and communicating this new addition. We would probably post flyers in Valley Community Services Board. Post on social media, the website, just to get word moving that we would be stopping there for 3 times a day to start. And from there, we can also monitor usage data with Passio, which I'll show you all the back end, so you can kind of see what we'd be tracking. But we can track that usage data both at Valley Community Services Board, but also some underutilized stops along the 250 connector. When I was just looking at the on-off data, which is just a 2-week time period, you see a little bit of lull in stops, but this way we'd be able to see everyday occurrences, so we know if there's a place where we can take off some underutilized stops to help make up that time to be able to serve them on a more hourly basis. And also, we will look forward to implementing the TDP. Just talking through. So the TDP had recommended that the Waynesboro Circulator, instead of traveling on Rosser Avenue, travel on West Main Street. So if it were the case to do that, then it could pick up at the Amazon stop that the 250 connector currently serves right off of West Main. So instead of the 250 coming past Ludewitt, circling through, coming back, and then turning on Ludewitt, it would just make an immediate turn on Ludewitt, cutting off that little time point, which would probably make up for the time of serving Valley Community Services for it. So we could then, once we make that change, we could probably move forward with serving Valley Community Services Board on an hourly basis rather than those 3 peak times. And then that also would include phasing Valley Community Services Board in as a funding partner. So we would start with maybe probably a prorated rate for them to start, since they're getting about 3 hours of service, prorating it through that way. And then once we're serving them on an hourly basis, we could bring them in fully as a funding partner, which, to give you all a preview, if you vote yes, then we'll amend the bylaws, because currently we would have to add in Valley Community Services Board as a funding partner on the bylaws, and we'll also take that opportunity to take a look at adding an Afton Express rider. So that would be one of the May agenda to bring all of that into place. So I'll open it up and see if you all have any questions for either me, Tammy, Steve, Anne.
If it's approved, how long would it be to implement it, do you think?
So I just went ahead and proactively ordered the bus stop sign. But that was just because I was doing a bulk order, and bus stop signs are very expensive if you just order one. So I try to do like a bulk order to save money. So I will probably have the bus stop sign within a few weeks. And so just depending on getting Steve's operations folks up to speed, installing the bus stop sign, and communicating the change, which we usually like to give about 2 weeks or more notice on. So it could be fairly soon.
When we change it from 3 times to hourly, would you have to get new signs?
Yes. Yeah. but I would just put in another bull order. Somehow Afton Express stop signs get stolen quite frequently.
Oh, goodness.
So I always need to order Afton Express stop signs. But yeah, we would just create a new sign that would just have the 250 connector, but we just thought it would be easiest for folks who are standing there so they wouldn't be waiting for a bus on the hour. Every hour they would see that there are those three time points, so we would just shift around those things. And since it's not really a time stop at this point, we wouldn't have to change schedules, but we could change schedules once they become a full stop, just so folks knew, because that's a pretty good stopping location. It would be good for the public to know that we're stopping there and they can get access to the services.
And also, since we had our little visit or whatever, I think I showed you out back, there was a, we call it a smoking hut that we had for years when you could smoke on the property. But it's a covered, plexiglass, I guess, covered. Anyway, we've gotten a quote on moving that up to the hill where people would actually have shelter to wait for the bus.
Oh,
so
right.
We're excited about that, yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Any other questions or comments? Do we have a motion to approve the stop?
I so move.
One second.
Is that Amanda?
Yeah.
Yes.
Got it. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? So moved.
Great.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll move forward. We'll bring Tammy into the fold. I guess we'll assume that you'll be on the VTAC, but we can send a formal letter to Cali Community Services Board for them to designate an appointee and an alternate. And then we'll move forward in May with amending the bylaws and go from there and start getting the stop sign installed and coordinate with BRT. So thank you all.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to have an update by Paul and Ann on the Stanton Lewis Street Hub.
Yes. Devin, you have the slides up there?
Yes. I'm going to share my screen again, sorry. So much technology today.
There you go. So I've been giving you guys updates at every meeting for probably the last year and a half about the Lewis Street Hub, but now we actually have some exciting things to show you and more of a detailed update to provide. So I'll just give you a little bit of background, since I think we do have some new folks that may not have been here when the project first started. But you know, back in 2021, we applied for and received a federal 5339 grant to help rehabilitate the transit hub. That is federal money matched by state funds from DRPT and then local funds here from our transit system. That was a very competitive grant, so it's been really exciting to work with DRPT and the FTA on this project. We're hoping it'll be kind of an example for how localities in Virginia can leverage those state funds to apply for federal money. So we've had a lot of attention and help from DRPT, which has been great, because neither Ann nor Devin nor I know anything about construction projects, but we have been learning. So the timeline, going back to basically when we purchased the lot in 2020 and 2021, all the way up through the engineering and architectural design phase, that was when we worked with our consultants at Kimley Horn to go through the design elements of the hub, come up with all of the schematics and design plans and drawings that we would then put out to bid for a contractor. That wrapped up at the end of this past calendar year, and we put the bid out for construction on January 22nd. That bid was out for just over a month, about, I think, 15 days past the month, so about 45 days total. And we had our live bid opening last week on March 6th, and we received one competitive bid. So we are excited. We are able to move forward with that in the bid analysis. We have received all of the documents we needed from that contractor to consider them responsive. So this afternoon after this meeting, we'll meet to do the final bid analysis to make sure that the cost allocation of different line items is aligned with what we would expect to see on the market and that nothing is extraordinarily high or extraordinarily low. And then we hope to be able to issue a letter of intent to award to the contractor by the end of this week. So everybody keep your fingers crossed that nothing happens between now and 5 p.m. today. But that's all exciting news because that means we will be moving on to construction soon. So with basically between this phase and the notice to proceed date, which we hope will be mid-April, we'll be doing a lot of work in the background. The contractor will get all of their insurance documents together, all of the permits from the city and the state, and anything they need to do to start construction. We'll have a pre-construction meeting with them, with our construction management team, so that everybody's on the same page about what's gonna happen when, who's gonna be on site when, what approvals and reviews and inspections will need to happen. And then hopefully we'll be able to put together a groundbreaking ceremony to kind of commemorate this moment that we've gotten the project to this point, and then you'll start seeing some dirt moved out there. We expect the project to take, you can move on to the next slide there. We expect the project to take about 4 months to complete. So if we have mobilization by mid to the end of April, we would be wrapped up by the end of the summer. And we'll hopefully have minimal obstruction to the road. They have to do most of the work on the property. There are some points where they'll be working on the sidewalks. But other than those points, Lewis Street will remain open. There won't be any issues with traffic getting through there. And before I talk about our temporary hub, we have this beautiful rendering that I don't think many of you have had a chance to see yet. But this is what we hope the hub will look like when it's complete. The sidewalks will follow along the back half of the property, and they'll connect to the existing sidewalks on Lewis Street. Ooh. All of the sidewalks will be ADA compliant with the safety plates for crosswalks. Crosswalks will be marked with paintings and markings so that people know where pedestrians should be and where they should not be. The buses will have their own dedicated bus pull-through lane at the back part of the property, and that will be separated from the parking space with a concrete median with some landscaping. So you won't have buses and cars in the same place. Hopefully we won't have pedestrians and buses in the same place. Everybody will have a safe place to access the lot for whatever need they have. We are also installing these beautiful herringbone stamped concrete crosswalks along the Lewis Street perimeter so that it kind of feeds into the historic district feel of downtown Stanton and ties it all together. If you've seen downtown Stanton, you know that there was a similar streetscape on Central Avenue in past years, so this will kind of mirror that and tie it all together. The landscaping will be great. There'll be a lot of tree coverage and some landscaping, like I said, between the bus lane and the cars, so you won't be looking at just a barren parking lot anymore. It'll be a really aesthetically nice and comfortable place for our passengers to wait for the bus, for people to park, for using free parking for downtown Stanton, and just really a nice nice spot in that end of Stanton. We are also putting in some electrical conduit for future EV charging stations. We don't currently have those in the plans, but as you're digging up a parking lot, it makes sense to put the electrical conduit in so that when we do have someone show interest in putting in EV parking, we can put those meters right up pretty easily. And then the last aspect that you might not be able to see because of the shadow, but on this far end of the lot, backing up into the current existing hill slope, there'll be a retaining wall. It'll be about 2 feet high with a seat cap so that that can be used as extra seating for passengers if the shelters are full, or if they just don't want to sit inside the shelter with other people, there'll be plenty of spots to sit.
Exactly how much space is there?
I do not know that off the top of my head. Oh, okay. But there's enough room for four buses to hub at the same time, including the trolley, so they'll all line up. There will be enough room for the buses to pull out around each other, so you don't have to wait for the first bus to leave before the other buses can get on their way if they're ready. We'll relocate the shelters to the back, so there'll be two shelters along the back sidewalk for passengers to sit in. So pretty much the same seating capacity in the shelters as there is now, but now adding that seat wall as well.
How many parking spaces?
Anne, do you remember how many we settled on? I want to say it's like between 15 and 20.
Yeah. I think it's less than 20.
Yeah.
It's a few fewer spaces than are somewhat informally there now. But that parking is pretty minimally utilized by the transit operations and tends to be overflow for big events downtown. So still a good amount of free overflow parking for downtown Stanton.
They're kind of informally our handicap spaces right now. They are marked with signs that they are handicap spaces, but they don't connect to the sidewalk or have any accessibility features. So the new handicap spots will be moved into the middle part of the parking lot there, and they will have accessibility between the spaces for wheelchairs to be able to get in and out of the vehicles. So much more accessible. And then all the fun stuff. So while we are doing all of that, we have to move transit operations somewhere else for that time. So we've worked with the city of Stanton to identify a spot that is safe for passengers and the bus drivers to get through, provides a spot that is relatively close to where the current hub is so people are not displaced too much, and that is going to be of minimal impact or as minimal as possible to the city and people who would be using those spaces for other reasons. So we've landed on this segment of North Augusta Street, which the angled parking, runs the whole block or a couple of blocks there, but we'll only be utilizing about 19 spaces starting at Academy Street and the entrance to the bank and moving towards Frederick Street. We'll put up a bunch of water-filled orange barricades so that people know that they should not be parking there, that that's for buses, and to also prevent passengers and pedestrians from accidentally wandering into the space when buses are pulling through. The buses will be able to pull through in that space, and they will be able to alight right onto the parking lot pavement so they can lower the wheelchair lifts flat on the ground. There's enough space for people to navigate once they get off the bus. And we will put up some temporary curb ramps so that anybody who has mobility challenges will be able to get onto the sidewalk from the parking area. The only downside to this scenario is that there is not enough room for the buses to pull out around each other, so they'll be in a first in, first out scenario. However, if there was some kind of significant delay, like we know sometimes the Blue Ridge Community College shuttle can get stuck on the highway, buses can certainly just circle the block and come back through if they need to reorder themselves. So hopefully there'll be minimal delays there. We are working with the city of Stanton to have a pretty robust communications plan, not just to transit riders, but also to the businesses along that street, to residents on Lewis Street, businesses on Lewis Street, just so everybody knows what's happening and knows that it might be mildly inconvenient for a short time, but this beautiful outcome will be what they will see at the end of that. So hopefully, like I said, if everything goes well with our letter to intent, the award, or letter of intent to award, and then the subsequent contract award, we should be starting that in the later section of April. Does anybody have any questions? There's another viewpoint there from the other end of the lot.
Who's the contractor?
Virginia Infrastructure. They are based out of Lexington. They've done a number of projects with VDOT, so they're very familiar with VDOT specs, which is what our parking lot standards are based on. They've done a couple of streetscape projects in Buena Vista and Salem and Roanoke, so they're also very well versed in dealing with these kinds of projects with sidewalks and curbs and amenities. And from what I understand, all of the subcontractors they intend to use are also local businesses as well.
And they did our 4th Street pedestrian crossing project.
Good. Any other questions or comments? All right, we will move on to a mobile data collection update from Devin.
Yes. Let's see. I'm gonna share my screen yet again.
All the different screens.
Let's see here. So we're actually starting to reach the end of the project. I feel like I've been telling you all about this for quite a while now, so it's nice to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So PASIO conducted its on-site training January 30th and 31st, which was postponed due to the weather. We were supposed to do that mid-January. VRT has trained all of their drivers and staff on the mobile data terminals, and the system was hard launched March 1st, and so I put in quotations hard launched we're still collecting manual, or the drivers are still collecting manual data on top of the electronic data, just to make sure everything is syncing up correctly and we're not just throwing off our data and not knowing about it. So we'll continue to do that until we can assure that the accuracy of the electronic data is fully up to speed. So I just kind of wanted to show you all what the back end looks like. So this is accessible by myself, Paula, Steve, Jeannie, and Leroy, the supervisors at Virginia Regional Transit, as well as our consultant who has been providing technical assistance to us through the process. So we have, we're able to look at the fleet logistics, so we can see all the buses that are in service, buses that are having a little bit of issues, which happens from time to time. Usually that means they're hitting a dead spot or the bus has been turned off for a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. We also have dispatch and messaging, which I have heard Donna, our dispatcher, really appreciates, because she can just go in and shoot out messages to the drivers automatically. So they get that message. So if a call stop pops up on one of the routes, she can message the driver and let them know that someone's going to be waiting at a specific stop. She can shoot out messaging to all of the drivers. If there's like an accident that's delaying a few of the routes, then they're all up to speed on what's going on there. And let's see, what else? The live map is really cool to sit back and just watch, because then you see where all the buses are. You get a lot of information, which is like very Big Brother is watching you, which I feel kind of bad, but also it's very good to know, because then you pull up the speed, the capacity. This is a bad example of me. Well, that one's a bad example too. It must be in a stop. This one, well, that one too. But anyway, you kind of get an idea that you can see the speed of the bus, the capacity of the bus, which route it's driving. There's also a playback feature, so if someone complains and says, hey, I was standing out and like the bus didn't stop near me, we can pull it back and say, actually, the bus did go through there at this time, you must have just missed it, or something like that. So it does give a little bit more accountability and gives VRT a chance to really be able to come in with hard data to show, like, this is where the bus was at this time, they weren't speeding, or they were speeding, and we'll talk to the driver about going the speed limit kind of thing. So then another very good thing is the reporting side. Donna and I are still trying to figure all of this out, but there's a lot of different ridership reports that can be pulled, and you can really drill down into the data by vehicle, by driver, by route, passenger type. We've inputted all of our regular passenger types, so when the passenger gets on the bus, the mobile data terminal just has like an add button and a subtract button, and you can put in passenger type and it adds, counts it. So it's the electronic passenger count. You can count their alighting, so when they're getting off. So we'll have that day-to-day data that we won't have to do on-off counts for 2 weeks, where Jeannie has to compile data and hate me for about a week afterwards. This will be very beneficial for us in the future, as well as when we get into NTD reporting. The buses will be tracking their deadhead mileage and their vehicle revenue hours, their vehicle revenue miles. So that will streamline a lot of things for Donna on her end for when she's inputting all of the data. And it will be probably a little bit more accurate. So, but yeah, just wanted to give you all a sense of what we've been doing behind the curtain for all this time. And it should be a very good system once we have everything all worked out and no more kinks. So as you all know, with, I know Jennifer said they're doing a new finance system. So as you know, these things take a while, but once you get it going, it all works out and makes people's lives a lot better and a lot easier.
What specifically is type of passenger?
So the different passenger types are like if a student gets on, or if a fare, like if they're paying with a cash fare or if they're paying with a punch card. Oh, okay. So just to track those mechanisms so we know who is riding the bus.
Okay. All right. Does it document people who, I mean, the wheelchair so that there's a documentation of the time it takes the driver to do the wheelchair versus someone getting on.
I don't think it does in that sense.
There is a difference, though.
There is a difference, but I don't think it'll be tracking that closely. Okay. The paratransit buses do have the system on, but they're on a different software. Mm. They use a scheduling software at BRT called Shaw, and that's just where Donna inputs all the different rides that it'll be doing for the day, and then it prints out a manifest. So they will have a separate system. For now, we're just continuing to use Shaw, but they do have the Bimble data terminals on, so Donna can still message them, and we can still track the bus, but they don't have like a specific route that they're assigned.
Any other questions or comments?
I'll just add that I think Devin mentioned it earlier, but I'll reemphasize that I think the most value that this will bring to this committee is that in the future, when we are looking at adding a stop or removing a stop or looking at the utilization of a route, we will have live data from however many months we need to look at to see how we can make those decisions. We won't have to wait until a set of sample data is collected. So when we get to implementing these things that are in the TDP a few years out, we'll have that record of utilization so that we can better inform you guys and better make decisions about how to manage the route changes. So very excited about that.
And Afton Express is also outfitted with the mobile data terminals, so all the buses have them.
Thank y'all.
Thank y'all. I have to be interviewing for Director of Finance this evening, so I have to get back to
work.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Yes.
All right, Paula, can you give us an update on the Afton Express, please?
Sure. I have a very short update because the annual report went out to stakeholders 2 weeks ago and went out to the public this week. All of you should have received a copy of that email. If you did not, for some reason, if your spam filter grabbed it because of the attachment, let me know. I can send it to you in a link so that that doesn't happen. It is also on our website right now, so you can direct people to view it there. But it was a really exciting year. We had 16,482 passenger trips in 2023, which is almost a 60% increase from 2022. So really, really excited growth there. The annual report gives kind of a breakdown, like it did last year, of what stops are utilized the most, where people are going once they get off those stops. We survey our passengers to get more information than what we can just see on our performance data. So there's some passenger insights in there, and then there's information about what's to come in the future, and just some really cool facts about the service this year. So I encourage everybody to read it, share it with whoever might be interested, and let us know if you have any questions or want any copies to share with your groups.
All right, Steve, contractor update, please.
Contractor update. So we've been on a hiring jag. We've been blessed. We had a bunch of folks come through here. So we have currently trained three and are going into route training and stuff like that. But they've been fully vetted and brought on board. So they're on payroll. Got an appointment tomorrow. Talk to somebody who is wanting to leave Quicks. Tired of being out in New York and New Jersey and Florida. And home 2 days a week, so I'm going to talk to him tomorrow. And we've got another person in the wing, so that if all that comes to fruition, that'll bring us about five people to add on. So our illness rate is kind of whittled down to about, you know, two people, three times a week maybe, so we feel a lot better than what it was before also. So we're got a little more flexibility, and we're not stressed so much about running out and having somebody on short notice drive the bus. So feeling good about that. This is driver transit month is what this is, operator month for driver recognition. And so we're going to do a little something Friday. We're going to give them some pizza, healthy pizza, non-healthy pizza. Then we're going to give them healthy donuts Monday. Paula's going to pick that for us. So we'll run around the park a lot, a couple laps, it'll be okay. So they really work hard, and like I said, the bringing new people in kind of can cause some anxiety and stuff, but I certainly think it'll work out. Vacation time is coming. We've been asking a lot of folks for the last 3 years, 4 years, so I think it gives everybody a chance to actually make some plans and realize the retirement they took. You know, we've had part-time people working 40 and 50 hours part-time, so I think it'll give everybody a little breathing room. And certainly we appreciate all they do every day, all the time, but it's nice that you know, particular months and events come up that we can celebrate that as well. So ridership over last year was up about 13%, so it was about 18,000 last month. It's about 16,000 this time last year, and it's still down. I'm just throwing and making up numbers now, about 7 or 8% from when the highlight was, which was about 2019. And about this time of year, 2019 is actually when we start to realize mandates coming down and limiting access to bus, how many people could ride. You know, we were getting, you know, mixed messages from the media and stuff. So, you know, that's really a bellwether event, 2019, when we started restricting and changing. So, but it still was a high peak of our ridership was there, 2019. Validity Community Service Board, that was good. We all thought that would be a good addition, and we're happy with the location, so we're excited about doing that. I think that's it. The Devin mentioned the messaging aspect on that. We're able to put out a everybody drive safe and be happy message to everybody, and you know, we get responses back to that, thumbs up. Talk about the paratransit as well, not being on a fixed route and not utilizing in that sense. But certainly there are a lot of changes to the paratransit going through the day. It is fluid. People are ready early, or they're canceling or whatever that is. So the ability to message those folks is a great addition to our tool bag. So I think that's all I got.
Other than the Citgo stop?
I'm sorry. We were doing a contracting report. So Devin's going to put up a, well, I'm looking right at it. So we're actually just going to put a sign up to really simplify this, of a stop. It has really been established for the longest time for the riding public. It has been a stop known to them. And if you're out there any length of time, the riding public will let you know that they need to get off the Citgo station. So it is on the West Loop. It is basically the Food Line out there is the last stop out on West Beverly before it turns around and comes back and goes Gruber and makes its way back to Lewis Street to the Hub. A lot of people, you know, get off on one side, run in while we go to Food Line, and they are back across the street waiting to resume their ride on the other side. So it's a really active spot to us. It's nice for us to be able to delineate it for them.
Do they have to pay twice?
Do they have to pay twice, Steve?
Theoretically, yeah. On drive, you know, it's always a negotiation out there, so. So, but part of the discussion is, you know, the request, which was the Citgo stop, could we make that a stop? Feasibility and route impact, it's kind of in the flow of things. It's not like we're leaving the road or, you know, making any weird accommodations. It's just right along the main strip there, so we stop anyway. So there's no impact to the route or the timetable. We don't need to, you know, change the schedule or allow for, you know, additional time through there. And there's no safety concerns. It's pretty in a good part of Beverly Street, hardly have any issues there, you know, as far as traffic wise and stuff. It's pretty wide and forgiving, the ability to kind of get off the road, ways to let folks get off and get back on. So it's everything you'd want in a stop. So
Devin, if I could
interject.
We will be repaving that section of West Beverly Street and implementing our bike plan. So there will be bike lanes, I believe, on both sides of that road there. So I guess we'll be parking in a bike lane at that point.
I guess so. Steve, I guess, are there any other spots where you're traveling along? Is it going to be like a designated bike lane or a share row?
In this area, if I recall correctly, it would actually be a bike lane.
Bike lane. Do you have any stops where you're actually along and do you get over in the bike lane or do you just stop in the lane of travel to avoid the bike lane?
Charlottesville, but the bike lane comes and goes and, you know, travels in and out and, you know, and it's kind of the Wild West in Charlottesville with the bike lanes. But, yeah, the, and this isn't related to, right, but the, what is it, the central garage is a good indication on where we kind of pull over to let cars get around us and go in the bike lane, so.
So they're just cognizant. They're just cognizant of the bike and pedestrian and cars.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, the impact of bikes certainly isn't like it is in Charlottesville, so.
No.
So yeah, we're mindful of that. We tell folks, you know, certainly that bikes have a right of way, and you know.
When are you all going to be repaving?
It would be an inordinate amount of time to, you know, either let the bike go past or whatever that is, negotiation in there. So
yeah, no, I doubt we'll have a whole lot of bike traffic up in that.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, just regular common traffic courtesy and, you know, doing the right thing. So.
I'm back to when we're going to do it.
Yep.
Unlike the PDC and your Lewis Creek project, we had zero bids on this project about 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure Steve got the heads up that we will be needing to know when those pavings occur, just so they're operationally speaking, because to kind of go back to Passio, so the routes are in the tablets, so the next stop populate, so if they deviate off or there's a known route departure, then we can go ahead and populate that route in so they're not having to manually click when they're hitting that stop. But we know most of the time sometimes a small detour comes up, so they just pop back on route. But like for a parade or something, if we know a route detour, then we can go ahead and upload it into the system.
But Rob, are you paving the whole street or are you just paving this bike lane?
We're paving the whole street from West Frederick, so it's like 1.8 miles out to the city limits.
And I don't want to oversimplify, but y'all going to paint that yourselves? Is that what you've come down to? Or?
Well, we sent out a bid to repave, to do a sidewalk project, to do ADA ramps at a dozen intersections, and do the striping. No, we were not planning on doing that in-house.
Okay. I was just getting to the painting, you know, but yeah, it's, it sounds a little more involved than that. So when did you say that was?
Not just yet, Steve.
Source subject, Steve.
Sorry.
This is still open.
They don't have a bid yet.
That's more salt?
Yeah. No, I'm good. I just write random dates down and put them in a basket anyway.
Okay, any questions for Steve regarding the bus stop at Citco?
Do we have a motion to approve that stop? Paul, second?
Second.
Mm-hmm. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Approved.
Well, again, I've already ordered the stuff. I just assume that you all are good, but I can always just put it away for another day. Rather go ahead and have it than to have to make it. So we will go ahead and install.
Any other signs we should know about?
No, it was also, I was ordering signs for the temporary hub. So we have all the signs that hopefully State and Public Works will help us put up for that, but it was the hub and then these two. No other stop signs yet.
They punched them out of a single sheet of metal, so the more you order, the less expensive it is. They don't really like you to just make one sign because that's a lot of waste of resources on their end. So we throw them all in there.
Yeah, sounds like you would do with some extras.
All right, any other business?
If no one has any, I will go ahead and share a quick update. So thanks to Crystal for letting us know about the remote area medical clinic that's coming to Augusta County in April 13th and 14th. So I know last year we weren't able to serve, but this year I called around and asked a few questions. And since we'll be opening it up to the public and it falls under our mission and goals to serve the entire community and get access to things like healthcare, we figured we could do a one-day only service for Saturday on the Stewart's Draft Link. So typically it runs Monday through Friday, 6:45 to 6:45 p.m. So we will just be operating an additional day, just that one Saturday. We will be swapping out the Amazon stop for Augusta Expo, so we'll be serving the clinic right there at Augusta Expo from 7:45, and the last stop will be 5:45, so folks can get access to those resources. Crystal assured me that I know it's a very popular event, so some people get there first thing in the morning, but there are also additional resources there. Crystal, you can speak to this more if you have more information, but it sounds like they can make appointments for folks too, and there'll be additional free resources, so it won't be a wasted ride, and maybe this will bridge some gaps for people who can't get a ride to or need a ride from or can get a ride from but need a ride to. So thanks again to Crystal for bringing this to our attention. So we'll I've sent this out to her, and I think she's been posting it wherever the RAM has been advertised, but I'll also send it out to you all so you all can push it out to let folks know that we'll be operating that particular Saturday.
Yes, thank you, Devin, for all your hard work on getting this pushed through. The RAM team met end of last week, and they were really excited to hear about the bus coverage for this event. So thank you. We'll be promoting the bus service for the event as well. So again, thank you all for being able to provide this for that day. There will be additional resources in addition to the medical, dental, and eye services. So if someone got there and they weren't able to take advantage of that, they'll be, like, for instance, the free dental clinic will be there to go ahead and register patients for services there. So, and a slew of other community resources that will be available to help folks with, in addition to just medical, dental, and vision needs. So I'm really excited that we're able to help provide and hopefully overcome access barriers for some folks. So thank you.
Thank you, Crystal. Perfect. So yeah, I'll send that out to you all so you can push it out in your respective media channels and get folks to some medical appointments and free resources this spring.
All right. Anything else? I have one last little plug. Okay. Rideshare, our commuter assistance program, is kind of overlaps with transit a little bit. We're in the process of developing a strategic plan for the next 5 years of the rideshare program, and there's a survey out right now that's live through April 12th. It's kind of a comprehensive survey, so you can take it no matter what type of commuter you are. If you're commuting to work or school in any mode or capacity, any distance, we want to hear from you about what your challenges as a commuter are, what your trends in employment are. We know that the data that we collected before the pandemic is kind of moot at this point because so many people's commutes changed with telework, with hybrid schedules, things like that. So I think you guys all may have gotten the survey by email when it went out last week, but if not, let me know. It's also on our social media pages, but anything you could do to contribute or to share with your channels. Our rideshare program covers our entire CSPC region, so Rockingham County all the way down to Rockbridge, Highland, and Bath. So don't hesitate to share it far and wide.
Perfect. Thank you. All right, anything else?
I will do one other business and congratulate Rodney on his recent promotion at City of Stanton.
Oh. Somehow I missed. Where was he?
City of Stanton. So you're now the Director of Community Development?
As of Monday, I will.
As of Monday.
Oh. Are you still going to come and join us at all these meetings?
I'm not an official member. I'm coming here at the request of Devin, I believe.
I was going to say, you started coming during the TDP, and I was like, it's kind of nice to have Rodney. So you can stop coming. You can always come. It's been nice to have you, so that's why I keep including you on the emails.
See, we needed your input today. Yeah. So.
Timely, relevant update.
Yes.
All right, so our next meeting will be May 8th. Meeting adjourned.
Okay.
Need a gavel.
I know, you can need a gavel.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.